So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great to be with you this morning. As Dick said, last week in December, New Year's is upon us. I hope everyone had a great Christmas. I certainly did. I do want to reach out and say thank you, Krelix, for a wonderful night at your place after the service on the 24th. It was a great time of fellowship. Thank you, Stephen, for giving me this opportunity to preach this morning. I trust you and your family will have an enjoyable trip in Mississippi, and our prayers to you for safe travels home. So this morning, we're going to be reading from John chapter 12. So please join me opening your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, you can find one underneath the pews. And we're going to be starting in verse 44, which is towards the end of the chapter. We're going to be reading from verse 44 to 50, to the end of chapter 12. But we're also going to be jumping a little bit to chapter 1 in John. So you might want to have a bookmark in both places. So if you were to create a summary of the core teachings and ministry of Jesus Christ, John 12, verses 44 through 50 would be an excellent place to start. In these verses, there are several points that are central and recurring throughout the New Testament. These themes tend to revolve around the question, why Jesus' people should receive and believe in him as their Savior. This morning, we're going to try and answer these questions by pulling from four points of this scripture, which are as follow. We're going to talk about Jesus' identity, and in particular, his identity and relationship with Jesus Christ, with the God the Father. We're going to talk about his purpose, for being here on earth. Now, Stephen, in his Advent series, did an excellent job of covering why Jesus came. And this section of my sermon is going to kind of be a little bit of an extension of that. We're also going to talk about the warnings that Jesus gives for those people that do not believe. And also, the last point, the promises for those that do believe in him. So join with me as we read John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. Hear now the word of the Lord. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, draw us closer to you this morning through your teacher, the Holy Spirit. Lord, guide my words that I may speak courageously, speak clearly, and most of all, speak faithfully. I pray to you, Lord, that these words will strengthen and encourage all that hear them. As we grow in our knowledge of Jesus, may we be freed from the darkness of sin and free to walk in his light. Continue your work in us, Lord, so that we may serve you more for your everlasting glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John chapter 12 depicts a time in Jesus' ministry where he is extremely popular And at the same time, he's extremely controversial. Jesus is at the very pinnacle of his ministry while he is also at the very end of it. We find that the events and the stories of the New Testament receive different levels of attention by the Gospels. Some events may be mentioned by one of the Gospels, possibly two of the Gospels, maybe this Gospel and not another Gospel. This particular event, though, that we're going to talk about is covered by all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The use of repetition is somewhat common in the Bible. For example, this tool is used by Jesus, who sometimes repeats himself twice. For example, verily, verily, or as we might translate, truly, truly. Jesus uses repetition to emphasize the importance of what he is about to say. This is important, he is trying to tell us. Listen up. God also repeats things in the Bible as many as three times, as we find in Revelations and in Isaiah. Specifically, if we look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, where heavenly creatures proclaim the glory of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. They don't proclaim his glory to be holy. They don't proclaim his glory to be holy, holy, but it gets the super trifecta of holy, holy, holy. Again, what is being said here by God is that this is really important. Stop what you are doing and pay attention to what is being said. God felt that way about our reading today in John 12. So important is it that it needed to be told four times by the four Gospels. Are you kind of getting the picture here? So everybody, I want you to pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. All right, so the date and place of our reading is in the Jewish calendar, the 10th day of Nisan. In our Julian calendar, this would be April 6th. It is Passover, it is 32 AD, and it is Palm Sunday. This is the day that Jesus triumphantly enters into Jerusalem. So during Passover, it is Jewish tradition to purchase a lamb on the 10th day of Nisan. The one that is chosen is white, it's furry, it has no blemishes inside or outside. And 4 days later, on the 14th of Nisan, if the lamb is found acceptable by the priest, it is sacrificed. In an effort to put some scale to the size of the festival here, each lamb sacrificed on Passover in Jerusalem was for an average of about 10 people. According to Jewish historians, about 256,000 lambs were sacrificed at Passover festivals of the time. So in rough numbers, this is about 2.5 million people who were in Jerusalem for Passover. Jesus also presents himself in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the 10th day of Nisan. Like the lamb, he too would be sacrificed by the nation on the 14th of Nisan. He would be inspected, but unlike the lamb, he would not be accepted. We can reveal this if we look in John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. For Jesus, this was a triumphant day. But it was also a very sad day. All right, so a couple of few introductory points here regarding Jesus' ministry. So Jesus' ministry at this point, when he enters into Jerusalem, is no longer concealed. It's no longer covert. It is now undisguised and is completely out in the open. Up until now, Jesus urged his followers to not reveal details about him, his healings, and his saving powers. But now, he is broadcast by riding into Jerusalem on a donkey that his identity is messianic, in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. A second point to realize about Jesus' ministry at this time is that it is extremely urgent. Earlier in the book of John, in chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 7, verse 30, and in chapter 8, verse 20, we find it is spoken by Jesus and of Jesus that my hour has not yet come. But now in John chapter 12, the situation has changed. Jesus has become very well known. The crowds that follow him are large. And the words of Jesus, and the word of Jesus raising Lazarus has traveled quickly. Everyone wants to see Jesus. Everyone wants to see Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, but by the greatest miracle of Jesus, he is now walking amongst the living. There was a plot to kill Jesus at this time by the chief priests, and now Lazarus as well. The evil thing about all this is that the Jewish leaders would rather destroy the evidence of the undeniable miracle of Lazarus' resurrection than to admit that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus' time is very short, as now is declared in John chapter 12, verse 23. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The sense of urgency that is carried through the opening phrase in our reading, and Jesus cried out, it makes us reflect a little bit and say, how many times in the Bible do we see Jesus crying out? Well, in fact, there are five. There is this one where he is crying out. There are two of them when he is on the cross. There is one when he cried out to Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And there's another one at the Feast of Tabernacle. Many of Jesus' cries carry a common theme. And it is a theme for the public to receive and to believe in him. So what we're going to do is we're going to look further into our readings for there are four reasons in this reading why they should receive and believe in Jesus. So we're going to start with the first reason they should receive and believe in Jesus is his identity. Specifically, his identity with God the Father. So please read with me again, John chapter 12, verses 44 to 45. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. What Jesus is saying here is critical to understanding the relationship to God. Jesus is saying, when you believe in me, you do not believe in me alone, but you also believe in God, for God and I are one. Further evidence of this duality is found in the very familiar scripture, if you can now jump to John chapter 1. In verse 1 and in chapter 1, verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 1 reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, so there's several things that this verse tells us. First of all, it tells us that God and the Word were together from the beginning. Two, it tells us that God and the Word were separate entities that had a relationship. And lastly, it tells us that God and the Word were the same. What John verse 1 does not tell us, though, is who is the Word? All right? So if we now jump ahead and we look at John chapter 1, verse 14, this is revealed to us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when you combine these two scriptures, it becomes an irrefutable truth based on an axiom that things that are equal to the same thing are in fact equal to themselves. And in other words, if you believe in God, then you must believe in Jesus. And the counter to this, if you don't believe in Jesus, then you cannot believe in God. As we will see, this becomes somewhat of a stumbling point for many in the Jewish community, particularly the Jewish priests. They believe in God, but they cannot believe in Jesus, even with all of the undeniable signs that have been given to them. Clearly, his people should have received and believed in Jesus because of his identity. As we continue on in the quest to answer the question why his people should receive and believe in Jesus, we come to our second point in this sermon, which is God's purpose. In John chapter 12, verse 46, the answer to this is revealed. Hear now the word of the Lord. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So what does it mean to come into the world as light? Is this a reference to physical light, such as sunlight or infrared light or ultraviolet light? To get a better understanding of this concept of light, we're going to jump back again to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, light is one of the metaphors used by him to describe Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the first metaphor described Jesus, as we've already talked about, is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The second metaphor John uses is life. And starting in verse 4, the term light occurs and is repeated 7 times in the next 6 verses to describe Jesus. Let's read this in full in John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The metaphor of light in this scripture, again, brings God into full view of his people through Jesus. Jesus is the light. A further connection to God and Jesus can also be found in the opening verse of Psalm 27. Here, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Here, the relationship and oneness of Jesus and God is again tied through the metaphor of light. In Psalm 27, God is light. In John 1, Jesus is light. Hence, Jesus is God. In every way, without illumination, man is in spiritual darkness. Jesus coming into the world as light reveals God to us. But it also reveals the true nature of our hearts As we read in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, hear now the word of the Lord. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. So Jesus here does not merely point out the light, but he leads us to believe in him and walk with him so that we can lift ourselves out of the darkness. The darkness represents ignorance, sin, and evil, which Jesus is the antithesis of and is opposed to it. And by his mere shining, he destroys it. Jesus is the light, the one true light, and the sole source of all illumination. So continuing on and answering our second point about Jesus' purpose for coming to earth, we continue in John chapter 12, verse 47. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. To understand verse 47, we should ask this question. Why did Jesus ride on a donkey into Jerusalem? We're all aware of the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9, but beyond that, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey for other reasons. One of them is to communicate that he did not come to judge, but that he came in peace to save the world. For many, this message was clear as this symbol of peace was used in other Old Testaments besides Zechariah. If we look at 1 Kings with Solomon and Judges in chapter 10 and in chapter 12, this same metaphor or use of the donkey to represent peace is used. Jesus did not come to judge the world. He came to save the world. Clearly, his people should have received and believed in him because Jesus came as light to reveal God to us, to reveal darkness in our hearts, and to assure us that he came not to judge us, but to save us. And finally, in John chapter 12, Jesus also gives us some warnings to those who do not believe in us, and also a promise for those of us that do. If you do not believe in Jesus, you will remain in darkness. In the absence of Jesus, there is no light. All right, so without Jesus, you will remain in darkness. But the second aspect of this is that the longer you remain in darkness, it will intensify even more. As we read in John chapter 12, verse 35, walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtakes you. To explain this a little bit better, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the movies. So on Christmas Day, I was driving around, and I happened to drive by the Ridge Theater. And although it's Christmas Day and most businesses are closed, the streets are relatively quiet, but that is not the case at this movie theater. Movie theaters on Christmas Day are not only open, but they're many times packed. Now, I suspect for most of us, it's a familiar experience when you come out of a movie theater during the day that we find ourselves squinting our eyes and possibly wincing at the seemingly glaring brightness outside. So why is it so bright? Did the clouds go away? Did the sun get brighter? Probably not. What it is that our eyes adjusted to the darkness, and over time, we called the darkness normal. Going further, If you or if you know anybody who is really a movie binge person, some people will go into a movie theater and see not one movie, but maybe two movies or three movies. When you come out of a movie theater after a movie binge like that, the intensity of the pain of the bright light becomes even more severe. So the longer that you are in the darkness, the harder it is to get out. And this is kind of the way it is with Jesus. And this is kind of what it is with Jesus and his warning. If you don't believe in Jesus now, start somewhere. The darkness of unbelief will not just overtake you, but over time it will intensify, making it all the harder to return to the light of Jesus. The final warning of Jesus comes towards the end of our reading in John chapter 12, verse 48. Hear now the word of the Lord. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. As you recall, Jesus rode into Jerusalem as the Messiah and King, and the donkey he rode in was a sign that he came in peace. But there will be another day when Jesus will ride again, as we read in Revelations chapter 19, verse 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Jesus was filled with grace on his first coming to Jerusalem. By the day of his second coming, he'll be filled with judgment. So on that day, will you say to God, I have done many good things? To which God will reply, sorry, not quite enough. I demand perfection. Or will you say to God, I come before you solely on the merits of your Son, my Savior Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, and by believing in him, Jesus will fulfill this fourth point of why we should receive and believe in Jesus Christ, and that is his promise of eternal life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words and your promise for eternal life, for those that believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that works to help us do what is right in our lives that serve your glory. Help us, Lord, to focus our lives toward Jesus so we will not need the applause of the world or fear its scorn. As Jesus is the one true light, build in us that same light so all may see your glory by what we display to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.